Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. I'm Chad Grigsby, and I serve in the role of church planting catalyst here at LifePoint. And this Sunday at Lewis Center, we continued our Alive series where we've been studying the New Testament letter of Ephesians. And we said that the main idea of this letter is that Jesus makes us new. And since we're coming to the end of this series, we've only got chapter 6 to really look at in the next couple of weeks. I thought it'd be great for us to take a moment and kind of look back and take another look about, you know, where we've been in the letter and what we've learned and what the main idea of the passage is. I think the letter is. Sometimes we get into these series and we go passage by passage, and by the end of it, you've been in it for several weeks and you go, what is this really about? So I thought we'd kind of expand a little bit, do a 30,000 foot view, and think about the implications of Jesus making us new. So we said that Jesus transforms our relationship with God, and Jesus transforms our relationship with others. And Paul talks about that transformation of our relationships, that this vertical relationship we have with God is now spilling over and pouring out to our horizontal relationship with others. In fact, Paul and other New Testament writers write this phrase, one another, over 100 times in the New Testament. And so there's this idea that we were made to walk with each other as Christians, that our relationship with God affects our relationship with other believers. But then Paul in Ephesians gets down to some more even practical application of this. He talks about the work relationships that we have as employees and employers. He talks about the parent-child relationships and how the gospel affects how we parent and how we live as kids. And then he talks about marriage and how the gospel affects our marriage. And that's where I really wanted to talk about today and spend some time for this Drivecast. And that's the idea that marriage is primarily for our holiness, not just our happiness. Now, listen, I think marriage, I think marriage is a great source of happiness. It should be a great source of happiness. Everybody wants to be happy in their marriage. But I think if we aim at happiness as the primary goal for our marriage, then we miss the gospel transformation in our life that God wants to do. But if we aim at holiness, this idea of the gospel changing us through our marriage, then often we get happiness. So if you aim for happiness, you don't always get it or holiness. But if you aim for holiness, you often get it and happiness. And the great story in the Old Testament illustrates this is in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, we see Jacob, who's known as the deceiver, and his deceptions have led him to have to run away from his family to his uncle Laban. So he leaves his home, leaves his father and mother and brother, and goes to his uncle Laban. And his uncle Laban tells Jacob that if he'll work for him for 7 days, he can marry his younger daughter, Rachel. Jacob loves Rachel. He's smitten with her, and he wants to marry her. And so Laban says, yeah, you can marry her as long as you give me 7 years of labor. So he does. Jacob gives 7 years of labor to Laban, and at the end of 7 years, the Bible says to Jacob, it was like a few days because he loved her so much, that Laban says, yeah, now that you've worked 7 years, I will give you Rachel. The only problem is on the wedding night, it's not Rachel. The next morning, Jacob wakes up and he is given Leah. Who's Leah? Leah is the older sister of Rachel, Laban's oldest daughter, Leah. Now, the Bible says that Rachel was very beautiful, but Leah was weak-eyed. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I don't think that that's a compliment to her, especially as it's been contrasted with Rachel's beauty. So you have Leah, who's not beautiful, and Rachel, who's extremely beautiful. And Laban is thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do with Leah. I don't know that I'll ever find a husband for her. And so he does a switcheroo on the wedding night, and Jacob is furious. He's like, how could you do this to me? I worked these 7 years for Rachel, and you've given me Leah. And Laban, who is now deceived, the great deceiver, says, oh yes, did I not tell you about our custom in our country? We can't marry off the younger without first marrying off the older. I can't believe I failed to disclose this to you. And so he comes up with another arrangement with Jacob. If you work for me for 7 more years, I will give you Rachel as well. And so after 7 days, Jacob marries Rachel as well. And so here's Leah, poor Leah, who's unwanted by her father. And now she's unwanted by her husband, who loves her sister more than he loves her. In fact, the Bible says that when God looked on Leah and saw that she was hated, he had compassion for her. So here she is, hated, unwanted by her father, unwanted by her husband, and replaced by her more good-looking sister. And so if marriage is all about our happiness, what do you say to Leah? You know, what is your great marriage advice for her in this situation? She's entered into her own personal daily hell, if you will, that she is enduring on a daily basis. Well, Leah, seeking happiness in her marriage and from her husband, starts having babies. And after every baby she has, she says, maybe my husband will now accept me. Maybe my husband will now love me. And she has 3 babies in which she looks to her husband for approval. But when she has her 4th and final child, it's what she says after that that shows us the difference and how the gospel really changes our hearts. She has her 4th child, names him Judah, and says, now I will look to the Lord. So over and over, she's looking for validation from her husband, and she realizes that it's an empty venture and that happiness is going to be elusive for her in her marriage. And so you know what she does? She latches on to holiness. She latches on to the Lord, and she says, I will look to the Lord. I will look to this transformation that he's doing in my life through my marriage that is not always happy. And in that way, she gets her life back. And in that way, the woman that was unwanted by her husband and unwanted by her father, she is actually the one through whom an heir to the Messiah would come. Judah is an ancestor of Jesus. And so through her, through this unwanted woman, comes the redemption of the world through Jesus. And so what could God do if we started to see that the relationships that he's given us, including our marriage, are not about our validation, but are about our holiness, not just about our happiness, but that God is doing something greater in our lives. Father, thank you so much for your word and how it speaks to us. Thank you that you are making us new, and that because of Jesus, we find our validation in him and not in any other relationship we have on this earth. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now you take a moment and pray to the Lord whatever it is he's laid on your heart from this Drivecast. Thanks again for joining us for another Drivecast episode. Come back tomorrow for more. Have a great day. God bless.